Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. This is a special debate preview. We are a little under an hour from one of the greatest debates in all of history before it's even had. Forget Lincoln and Douglas.
Can you imagine walking out there knowing everyone in the world basically hates you at this moment?
It is surreal.
There's never been animosity for a politician that is so like fresh and new, and he has to walk out onto the main stage next to his female opponent.
Have you heard?
No. I did tell Ryan Connor today that I would be impressed if instead of shaking her hand, he shook her pussy. I would know that it's unsalvageable completely, but you told me that he doubled down.
Oh, he doubled down big. All right, so, and for those of you watching on Facebook Live, this is Mittens providing an alternative show, should you not like anything we have to say. What is she doing?
To grab your pussy.
Go ahead. Well, here. Got the Tic Tacs ready, so you can... just pop one of these in. So he doubled down.
What'd he do?
The breaking news alert. I'm watching CNN, getting all the lights and everything set up for the show here. What would be the most Donald Trump thing you could think of him doing?
The most Donald Trump thing? Oh. Did he say it's a compliment?
Oh. Under fire for bragging about sexual assault, Donald Trump, this is from Politico, Donald Trump tried to redirect by holding a surprise panel, broadcast live on Facebook, with women who have accused Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct on Sunday evening, just an hour and a half before he was set to square off with Hillary Clinton in their second presidential...
Who were they?
You should see his face. His face. You got to go to our Facebook page and watch this. It's hilarious. Seated besides four women... including Juanita Broderick, Paula Jones.
Oh my God.
Kathy and Willie.
Oh my God.
And Kathy Shelton. Trump addressed viewers ahead of the debate, making an issue of Bill Clinton's own sexual history as the GOP nominee faces a mass defection from within his own party. These very four courageous women have asked to be here, and it was our honor to help them, Trump said of the women who then excused his comments, caught on tape, and released on Friday. Broderick said, "Actions speak louder than words," who alleged in 1999 that Clinton raped her in 78, a claim that Clinton has denied. "Mr. Trump may have said some bad words, but Bill Clinton raped me and Hillary Clinton threatened me. I don't think there's anything worse. I think they should all look at the fact that he is a good person," Jones said of Trump. "He's not what other person have been saying he has been, like Hillary." Jones
person or people?
I'm reading it the way that it was written.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jones sued Bill Clinton for sexual harassment in 94. The case was settled without him admitting guilt. So,
that's incredible.
One of the CNN reporters was sitting in a room with the Hillary Clinton spokesperson and the campaign manager as this came across the wires and people started getting push notifications. And to paraphrase essentially what was said by the Clinton spokesperson, it's sort of what they've been saying all day, which is, if that's the kind of campaign that he wants to run, then that's the kind of campaign he can run, but we're sticking to the issues that the American people care about, while they continually push the statements, which are inexcusable. There's, you know, I don't know, you might find excuses.
No, there's no excuse for that. I mean, I've heard worse things, and I've heard worse things in a lot of different places.
In our chats?
We are way worse than this daily, but we're also not running for president.
No, here's the difference, though. I don't think any of us ever make, like, we say terrible things, and we say terrible jokes. Mm-hmm. In chat, but we never like joke about
Oh, come on.
Hurting people. Other than, you know, accusing Tyler of abducting women, but other than that...
I mean, we joke a lot. I mean, just last week, there was an Amber Alert in Indianapolis, and I screenshotted it and then asked and tagged you and said, when did Chris Spangle get a Kia Sorento?
Which I wasn't really down for that one.
I know.
Generally not a
fan. It got way more likes than I thought, and that was one of those where I thought, yeah, this one flirts with that line.
You actually sent me a note and said, was that too far? Yeah. And I was like, a little bit, but it's fine.
Yeah,
leave it up.
Amber Alerts are for a very, you know, boutique audience.
Is that what you call it? Yeah, like, my impression of the comments are, is it unseemly? Yes, it was absolutely unseemly. Is it locker room talk for guys to sit around and talk about, you know, a woman's legs? Or, yeah, I totally could have after, you know, that sort of thing. But, like, the concept that, here's where it's different for me. Like, it's...
You were triggered.
I don't know that triggered's the right word. I've been annoyed by this whole thing, as I am by usually everything. He clearly has a sense of entitlement that he is entitled to other people's bodies, especially women, and that he can get away with it. And he clearly is bragging about
they welcome it. They want it.
Right? Yeah. And I don't think that's the case. He thinks they want it. He thinks they want to be kissed by the Donald Trump, but. You know, Erin Burnett on CNN keeps touting one of her friends who goes unnamed and says, you know, she was like traumatized by the whole thing. The guy walked up, put some Tic Tacs in his mouth and kissed me. I didn't want that. And like, that's battery. That's sexual assault. So that's where it's different for me. Like, yeah, if he were just joking around with his buddies, that's one thing. But this guy clearly, he's outlining exactly what he does. And that's where it's just, it's beyond gross. But the thing that I've spent my career over the last 10 or 12 years in the back of rooms full of powerful politicians and race, you know, and racing. And this is how men in power talk. Men in power have very little regard for other people and very little regard for women. Women generally are viewed by men in power as sex toys.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm very glad that it is a notion that is changing, because it has to change. Women are, you know, I value women. how about you, Greg?
Of course. I mean, it's not surprising that people who exhibit pathological narcissism are attracted to power.
Right.
Because they already have, you know, grandiose senses of self, and they tell them, you know, they have the difference between what they actually are and what they believe they're entitled to. Is where they get upset. And like, he's clearly achieved things in life where he feels like there are no repercussions. He's above the law. There are no standards.
Yeah.
It is his world. You're lucky to be living in it. And you aren't considered.
Mm-hmm.
There is no empathy. It is just purely what I want and where I derive satisfaction and validation and approval. And anything else is a you problem.
No qualms about him being married, and like, you know, it's just gross. Let's actually play the video. Let's see if this works. We're trying to be a professional organization around here. So if you have small children watching, then we're going to play the video. So if you don't want your small children or adults hearing the
this isn't the Gettysburg Address.
The next possible president of the United States. Here is his conversation with Billy Bush in 2005 as he's rolling up in an Access Hollywood bus, which I'm sure Verizon loved to be painted all over the side of that one. And we'll see if we can get this video to load. Thank you to Harry Price, by the way. Harry was here for 6 hours today going through and setting up our various apparati.
I don't want to say indentured servitude, but that's what it's starting to resemble.
Okay, not indentured servitude or anything like that. He wanted to be here.
Did he?
He wanted. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be here. He loves We Are Libertarians. And so he made our internet. He made my internet like twice as fast.
He said, look, Harry, you can either keep getting the door or I can give you new responsibilities.
That's right. Yes, I threatened Harry. So let's see if this works. I don't know. I'm not getting
the audio's not coming through.
I'm not getting much. Let's play this bad boy. No, I hear it.
She was in upon Long Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit. In the purple.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, the Donald is good.
Whoa.
Oh, my man. Wait, you got to look at me when you get out.
Whoever sets this up.
That is very
will you give me the thumbs up?
Look at you. You are a pussy.
You,
gotta put
the you are a pussy.
You got to get the thumbs up. Can't be too happy.
Else off first? Yeah, let me.
It's very.
You got to give me the thumbs up.
You and I will walk.
Tic Tacs?
No.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Unless you're implying they're necessary.
No, I'm not going to do it.
It's a different one.
Better not be the publicist. No, it's her.
Yeah, that's her. With the gold. I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
But see, we're laughing. We're part of the problem.
Come on, shorty.
Oh, nice legs, huh?
Oof, get out of the way.
Nice legs.
That's good legs. Go ahead.
It's always good if you don't fall out of the bus. Like Ford, Gerald Ford, remember?
Down below. Pull the hell.
Hello, how are you? Hi.
Mr. Trump, how
nice
are
seeing you?
Pleasure
terrific.
To meet you.
Terrific. You know Billy Bush?
Hello, how are
nice
you?
To see you. How are you doing,
very
Ariane?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Are you ready to be a soap star?
We're ready, let's go. Make right. me a soap star.
How about absolutely. A little hug for the Donnelly? Just got off the
Is
bus.
It like a little
okay,
hug,
absolutely. Melania said this was okay.
I just got off the bus.
There we go. Okay, Billy Bush couldn't be more annoying, could he? It's coming through that Billy Bush has been suspended. Sorry, I'm eating orange Tic Tacs, and I'm readjusting all of the audio. This has been my problem with Donald Trump all along, is that Donald Trump clearly has just this view of other human beings as not as people. So, I mean, it's to me, none of this is surprising.
No, it's rare, though. I mean, it's rare to actually hear what you've always believed.
Right.
Like, with Hillary, this would never come out.
Right.
The threat would be so huge and so devastating to that person in the media. That
meaning behind the scenes?
Yeah, exposing her would be career suicide and potentially real suicide. And so I would think that she's had conversations and discussions which are probably even more offensive because it would be about troops in Iraq and, you know, people, soldiers dying or kids and children dying and that just being, you know, a factor of doing business.
Well, her in the WikiLeaks saying that can't somebody just drone Snowden? Can't we just drone this guy?
Yep. And that's that. I mean, that is how the powerful look. That's how the elite look at society.
Sure.
They're the class, the top class. Everybody else is, you know, they're irrelevant.
Right.
You know, the greater good can't stand in the way of one, you know, an individual because individuals are, you know, they're expendable.
Yeah. And throughout history, that's been the view.
Oh, yeah, Stalin. I mean, that's the thing with Stalin. They just kept marching soldiers into the German, the Nazi bullets because they knew they had more people than they could manufacture bullets.
Well, they didn't have in the late 40s, early 50s, I think it was, in the Ukraine genocide. I mean, there were 7 million people killed in Ukraine. He just starved them to death.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough food for the rest of the USSR, so he just said, well, sorry, Ukraine.
Yeah, it's no different than chess to them. You know, it's a series right. of strategic moves and positioning, and it's about exerting control. And whoever loses their life in between, you know, that's part of the necessary cost in order to pursue the interest.
So I can't think of anything near as damning in I've been watching presidential campaigns since 92.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I've studied a lot of history of politics going back. I can't think of anything, at least in the last 30 years, that even comes close to this level of an October surprise. I mean, there was the Swift boat stuff, but the Swift boat stuff took a long time, a lot of ads for that to start penetrating. This, I mean, it's everybody's talking like it's completely over.
I would imagine it is probably over.
Yeah.
He would have a really tough time turning this around.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, honestly, he was never, you can't apologize in this short of time and let that branding, you know, rebranding happen or let bygones be bygones because we're too close.
Yeah, it's 30,
and so
30 days out.
I totally understand the idea of hosting that Facebook forum because he has to double down and take risks because if he's going to lose, he'd rather, if I were him, I'd just assume get crushed rather than, you know, slowly bleed to death because at the end of the day, it makes no difference. You're still the first loser.
Yeah. I mean, my mouth fell open. Like, I have stopped being surprised by Donald Trump, and I've stopped counting him out, but I think I can count him out at this point. I don't know. I just think that this is so over the top for even him that there's something about this blow that in boxing, sometimes you never know that left jab where it may not be nearly as hard as the right hook from earlier in the fight. It just hits the nose at the right angle that drops that person.
Yeah, just you weren't prepared for it.
Yeah, and that's what this feels like. It feels like he was totally caught off guard.
I want to know how long they've been sitting on it. This is a hell of an ace in the hole.
So the what I read or what I saw from Brian Stelzer from CNN a few days ago is that somebody at Access Hollywood was looking for Donald Trump stuff. They found this. And they were going to release it at some point, but they had no time frame. They were trying to figure out what to do. An employee at NBC then sent it to the Washington Post because that employee allegedly did not think that they were ever going to release it because of the damage that would happen to Billy Bush, who's on the Today Show, or was. And Billy Bush was already kind of on the fence with the Today Show, and so therefore, he didn't want to take the brunt of the damage.
Yeah.
So... which he comes across just as bad as Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, immediately put out a statement basically saying, you know, as a younger man, I was just trying to impress the Donald and all that kind of good stuff. And
well, that's what they all tried. I mean, that's right. The media, that's the currency in media.
Right.
Is access. And the only way through access is flattery and to get in the inner circle and let them accept you.
So does this change anything for you?
Does it change anything like for who I'm going to vote for?
Yeah.
No, probably not. It isn't. I mean, Hillary Clinton is way worse. I know it with absolute certainty that she is a more morally reprehensible individual because of how she feels about the human lives of everyday Americans. To me, this is locker room humor. I hear way worse daily.
Sure.
I'm not offended. I'm not shocked.
I wasn't offended or shocked by it.
Not at all. And like,
I think that any man who says that they're offended or shocked by it is just full of shit.
He's a white knight.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't have any respect for. I mean, I don't think you shouldn't talk about women this way, but it happens.
Yeah.
But on the scheme of things, I would feel safer if I were. Let's say you and I were in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't feel. Gary Johnson would make me feel the most safe that he wouldn't deploy us for, you know, pursue power.
Right.
But I know at this point, what I can actually prove is that Donald Trump bloviates and is completely dependent upon public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, given the nature of the way Americans feel about war right now, they don't want any more. They want to go back. I feel like that's the reason Trump holds the position he does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd feel safer as an American citizen under a Donald Trump than I would under a Hillary Clinton, who has no regard for the opinions. She has the right opinions, and everyone else is just a pawn.
Well, she has a track record, and it's not articulated that way, but her track record is abysmal. She's a destructive human being that kills lives.
No one has ever seen the absolute disintegration of the Middle East quicker than her as Secretary of State.
Yeah, and I don't mean Vince Foster stuff. I mean, if you look at the policies that she's championed, just take the crime bill, for instance, and the way that it has decimated the black community. There's a new
NAFTA.
Yeah, there's a new documentary on Netflix called 13. I thought it was really poorly done. But it does make some interesting points about Clinton and the crime bill and the treatment of black Americans since the 13th Amendment. So it's an interesting hour and a half. But,
yeah, I mean, like, I think for her track record is terrible. The TPP, she's against it now, even though she authored it. I mean, the things that are going to make a real difference in Americans' lives and the American economy and sons and daughters being sent into war and being put in front of, you know, basically being targets for Islamic radicals who... we're intervening for no reason, where we don't have a dog in the fight, she doesn't consider those things.
Right.
And to me, that is it's a lot scarier to me she is than Donald is. And, you know, I asked the question yesterday. I said, what's more scary to the average American citizen? The fact that, but I mean, everyone's trying to dig up dirt on everybody, and they'll pay any amount of money to get dirt on Hillary or Donald.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is people do it for Hillary in order to keep it private.
Right.
For Donald, it's to expose.
Right.
That should scare everybody.
Sure.
Now, Gary's the vote. Gary's the vote. I mean, he's the best person in it.
Mm-hmm.
He is the, he's got the best track record, and you can trust him.
Sure.
You can trust Gary, but if you're one of, you know, there's a lot of wasted vote people. And so at the end of the day, if I'm a wasted vote person, I would look at it and say, what's more dangerous, Hillary or Donald? And it's an easy decision.
Sure.
And from that perspective, in my opinion, doesn't mean what he did was acceptable.
No.
I mean,
I think at the end of the day, that's what you're going to get 40% of the population that's going to have that same exact line of thinking that you just laid out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not the right line of thinking. That's not how people should think about politics and voting. But that's something that's like a culture. It's in the mindset of the average American voter, and it's something we can't just overturn.
Yeah, for me, voting for Gary Johnson, I don't feel ashamed of it.
Right.
You know, I don't feel any qualms about it. I agree with the guy most of the time. I know he's a man of character. You know, all the bull crap about him being dumb and uninformed.
No.
You know, we've criticized him for being unprepared in certain areas, but he's not a dumb person. He's not nearly what you see, you know, having been around him for and
he's
watched him
for
five years.
He's got a better business track record than Donald Trump, and he's got a better governing track record than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And he's been an executive in both elements, or both atmospheres.
So...
but it is an amazing... The outrage has been fun to watch.
It has been pure propaganda at certain points on CNN, where if you watch CNN and you watch... Now, listen, we're going to have the graphic warning. You need to have your child, and really overselling how bad this is and how awful this is. Friday night, the little stain, the little wee, or was it Saturday night that it came out? No, I think it was Saturday night, last night that I was watching the news on CNN, and this little stain who used to be on the 5 o'clock version of CNN was just, oh, this is the most awful thing I've ever heard in my life. This is outrageous. And then they went to the Democratic women and they're like, I fainted when I heard his words. It was the most shocking thing I've ever... Meanwhile, any one of those people who have worked in media or who have worked in politics, you've been around, you've said worse, and quit lying, because you have.
If you've seen the movie Gran Torino, you know you've heard worse.
Right.
I mean, this is guy culture. It's, you know, macho trying to brag, and none of it's true.
Now, I disagree. Like, there's, like trying to brag, but like he takes it to a level of predator.
Well, there's no repercussions perceived repercussions.
Where he's just trying, I can get away with forcing myself on women. That's not how guys talk.
Like, no, because for the average person, there are repercussions. You know, he lives in a world where there aren't, and if there are, he doesn't care until right now.
Right. Well, that's probably why we shouldn't elect him president.
Yeah, Hillary's the same way.
I know.
That's why, I mean, you vote for Gary. If this is something that outrages you and it is a deal breaker, then you can't vote for Hillary. You either don't vote or you vote for Gary.
Yeah. No, without a doubt. There is no other option.
She enabled Bill.
So I find the argument that Bill did worse, you know, that Trump said bad things, but Bill did blah, blah, blah. Like, to me, trying to, like...
compare the two?
It's just grade school logic. It's, you know, recess type thinking. It just doesn't... I don't think that has ever worked. The accusations and all the shit against Hillary Clinton with when Giuliani tried it in the Senate, it just never worked. It has never worked against the Clintons. And yes, he's going to take it to a different level, but it just makes him look even more petty. And I don't think that just reinforces that 40% that's going to vote for him, 40-45%, but he needs 51%. And I just think it's a totally unconvincing, quote-unquote, argument that I can say whatever I want because he's done worse. Like, what kind of society does that create? That kind of...
Oh, it's a race to the bottom.
Right. Like, well, you know, Mittens has murdered people, so I should be able to punch whoever I want in the face.
Right.
Like, it just is such a distortion of the binary way of thinking that we have anyways.
Yeah, it is. It's a moral relativism that, I mean, if it really will perpetuate the lesser of two evils in every single cycle. And it has, and that's the way voters have always been, because at the end of the day, it's still part entertainment. It's infotainment to an extent.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is just the thing that sucks, because at the end of the day, no one's asking the question, because it is logical. Donald said deplorable things. Hillary has done deplorable things, and she enabled a husband out of the desire to achieve power that allowed him to act in a way less moral way than what Donald Trump's words were. And at the end of the day, no one follows up with, well, then there's Gary Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally, there hasn't been that inclusion.
He's been completely left out of any of the discussion whatsoever. Part of that, I think, is because of the missteps, but also because once we get to this point in any election cycle, like, this is just what happens. People get so hyper-focused on the two that all that, it gets worse and worse. There will be less and less and less media coverage for Gary Johnson because the novelty's worn off. That's when we had time. We don't have time now. The cycle is just...
Well, now it's anxiety. People are starting to come to terms with the idea that it's going to be Donald or Hillary.
Right.
And so now there's anxiety setting in where people are going to either just stay home, or they're going to say, I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton, I'm voting against Donald Trump.
Right.
And Barack Obama's even playing into that psychology. You know, Democrats are seizing. That's been the playbook the entire election. Hillary has no plan. She has no strategy or set of policies for, you know, revitalizing the economy, or, you know, drawing down troops in Iraq, or, you know, just trying to restore sound monetary, tax, and domestic policy in the U.S. So instead, she's going to just throw barbs at Donald, and it'll be a perpetuation of the Obama administration.
Sure. And we ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
We reward it. Right. We reward it by giving them votes.
Every time. We reward it every time. We don't ask that votes be earned anymore.
Right.
Barack Obama did try to earn votes. He didn't have a ton of policies, but he had an incredible ability to inspire and to look out into the future and lead. And that's why he was a great orator, and that's why he was a transcendent candidate. But for the most part, our choices are Bush, Kerry, or, you know, it could have been Hillary McCain, and that's a coin toss.
Yeah.
They're no different on policy than anyone.
Right.
You know, Mitt Romney and Hillary Clinton are really no different on policy.
Sure.
Bill Weldon and Hillary Clinton are not that much different on policy.
Well, that was one of the points that was made maybe by Van Jones earlier today, basically saying, you know, the Republicans are just anti-Democrats. That's all that they are anymore. They have no ideas. And
that's why Trump won, because he had a little bit of a plan.
Sure. But nobody cares because...
Not now.
Because he's so crazy.
No, but like, if you had taken the messaging and the way he did it and put it into a person without his background and, you know, moderated it a bit, it'd have been a lot like a Bob Dole, but you need a more charismatic figure to present it.
Right.
Because it's not a bad idea to stop writing a blank check for, you know, global protection for everybody and being suckered in and lured into fights we don't care about.
Right.
You know, that isn't bad. That's not a bad policy. It's a libertarian idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, libertarian-ish. And the idea that trade deals we should all play from the same terms.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be favorites, and the favorites shouldn't be picked by the amount that the corporations can lobby. And that's what happened with NAFTA, and that's why people didn't have jobs that were, you know, people that only completed high school or had not completed high school. And that's where all this anger and discontent stems from.
Right.
And so Hillary Clinton and the left are now adopting Republican tactics. It's not, you know, Barack Obama had inspired people, and that's why he was transcendent. But Hillary, it's purely anti-Donald.
There isn't anything inspiring about her.
No. I mean, Bill Clinton, she gave the worst speech of anyone at the Democratic National Convention.
She really did.
The worst.
Yeah.
Hands down. And that's amazing. But when your opponent is so risky, you know, it was high risk, high reward, because it just really, there wasn't someone, in my opinion, that could have actually pulled this thing off.
He's like America's awful boyfriend.
He is. He's our son of a bitch.
He's that guy that, he is that guy that your sister dated in high school that she just kept going back to him because there's something charming about him, and then he hurts them all over again. Like, that's how he feels to me, like, because, you know, there's always this thing with Trump where I look at it and I go, okay, he's everything that is wrong for America, but he's so funny.
Oh, yeah, he's then, entertainment.
But then he goes and does something like this, and you go, I can never talk to him again.
See, I don't feel that way.
I do.
This isn't the deal breaker for me that he said these things, because I have friends right now in my social circle that have said more deplorable. I'm sitting next to one of my friends that said more awful things than that.
Dare you to name one time. No, wait, don't.
No, that's what I mean. This isn't a deal breaker. This was a opportunity to seize upon and stoke the flames of faux outrage. And because Donald is unpopular, it's a lot like it's the justification and out for not voting Libertarian. This was right. The reason to abandon the Trump train for a lot of people that have been looking for one.
So I do think that privacy has not been a part of this discussion, and it should be. I mean, this is just a lesson that we live in a world where nothing is safe. You know, like
everything's been recorded since probably 1999 on.
And
so,
everything is screenshotted. Everything is recorded.
Unless you're Hillary Clinton, it's accessible to from archive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to be careful what you say, because I watched a Gore Vidal documentary, and he called our government totalitarian. Mm-hmm. He said he was talking about the Bush administration, but just in general, he's like, we live in a totalitarian society where everything is recorded and anything can be used against us. Now, this isn't the government providing this, but this is certainly a case of microphones are on everywhere.
Everything is a microphone.
Everything.
You know, because cell phones are so prevalent and, you know, spying software and all the different things, there isn't a right. I mean, there may be a good case in the Constitution to argue there's a right to privacy, but that's theoretical at this point.
Yeah.
At this point, the reality is there isn't one.
The other problem is that we are no longer a republic. Like, more than any other election cycle, I truly feel like this is the last, like, the idea that we're a republic in any way, shape, or form is over, because we are governed by the mob at this point. And when you look at, these random acts of shaming, where everything just turns on, the machine turns on and just starts tearing people down, somebody like Billy Bush was just taking a moment who... Billy Bush was just, you know, clowning around with Trump, and he wasn't saying things that led to Billy Bush being a sexual predator like Donald Trump, but he's a pariah at this point.
He is, and that's what's funny is, you said you were watching a documentary about Gore Vidal.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen him when he was on the firing line with William F. Buckley?
I haven't. They took that documentary off Netflix.
So like Billy Bush, what he just said, not that, like, yes, in today's society, offensive, right? Mm-hmm. William F. Buckley on a PBS to Gore Vidal said, "Call me a fascist one more time, you goddamn queer, and I'll smack you in the face, and you'll stay plastered."
Right.
He said that on PBS.
Yeah.
Like the Sesame Street channel.
Right.
And yet he was above the fray in the mm-hmm. elite of politics and right. revered. And at the end of the day, that just shows you how much... Americans are just horny for boycotts and outrage.
Right.
They cannot wait to stoke the flames of outrage, and they'll they'll seize on any opportunity to, just go shout and scream and protest.
Someone please make that a meme. Americans are horny for boycotts and outrage, quote unquote, Greg Lenz.
Don't you agree?
I almost called you Glenn Trump.
Oh, my God. Mormon Trump. Then it would have been fine with going around grabbing women.
Yeah, I totally agree. We love it. We love the tabloid culture. We love the tabloid politics. We just assume that everyone's a scumbag, Ed.
Well, we become a bitchy culture.
Yeah.
A mean culture.
Sassy.
Yeah, we're really snarky. We're very, it's almost a constant state of anticipation and waiting to pounce.
Yeah. What was the quote about snark that Will what's-his-face from Newsroom?
Oh, Will McAvoy?
Will McAvoy.
Jeff Daniel? I can't remember what it was about snark.
I'll look it up. It was so funny.
Oh, that show was a perfect commentary on the state of today's media.
Yeah.
You know, it was overly idealistic, and I think everyone should watch it, especially if you're a listener to this show. If there are a couple shows I'd recommend, I would recommend The West Wing. Watch it all the way through if you want to believe that, you know, there are people in government that are idealistic and trying to do good work. If you want to believe what it's actually like, watch House of Cards.
Yeah.
And then to see what a responsible news outlet that isn't completely dependent upon financial success, watch the Newsroom.
Yeah.
Same writer as The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin.
Something, I think it was on Hulu, or maybe it was Amazon Prime, and it was, I'll look it up, but... The quote was, "Snark is the idiot's version of wit, and we're being polluted by it."
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, oh, it's called Battleground. I think it was on Hulu. And it basically is like a faux documentary of working on a campaign. That was exactly how it is, working on a campaign. It was really, it's a good little quote-unquote comedy show.
It's almost a mania. It's an American mania where the news cycle is so quick. There's so much information to process. Everybody's already anxious while trying to digest things because they never unplug.
Right.
And it's made us all almost manic depressive and just ready to snap at any point collectively.
There is a general societal stress.
There is. A lot of it's narcissism too from social media.
It's just not let up.
And it's only going to continue.
It started in 07 and it's just not let up at all.
It has, and people are just anxious about everything.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't an American class of people that are satisfied with the way things are and think the United States is on the right course, no matter what demo you target.
Which is kind of why I think that social media is not a good thing.
It is a good thing because it's also it's connected the world.
Sure.
Zuckerberg started it so that it would bring the world together where you could access anybody and there wouldn't be prevention of the free flow of information.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, there are downsides.
Right.
It also is makes everybody into a content producer, or they think they are.
Those bastards.
But that's good because you rise it's the true free market of content.
Sure.
And so you live or die, and there are no there's nothing prohibiting you from entering that market.
Right.
But it also means it's hard to get noticed, and people don't reward. If people rewarded the substance, Beethoven and Mozart would be the best selling artists, and not Bieber.
Right. So previewing tonight's debate. I can't think of a moment in American political history. David Axelrod talked about the Checker speech in 52. There was a mini scandal brewing about Richard Nixon. I know, I can't believe it either. And he gave what was called the Checker speech, where he gave a speech about how he was not a crook and used his little dog Checkers as part of it. And it became an infamous speech, and he did so well that it convinced Roosevelt to keep him. And at the end, he said, write the RNC and keep me on the ticket. And people did. They believed him. They found him trustworthy. And he used television to sway people to his side. And that was really, there isn't any other moment where a person's entire political and his entire... It's not a political life because he's not a political figure. His entire fame is on the line. If he can't come out and genuinely say he's a different person and that, this happened 11 years ago and I'm a different person, I'm a change, but when you look at him sitting at a table with Bill Clinton's former, conquests and,
he's not a different person. That option isn't on the table.
Yeah.
He took that off the table when he did the forum.
Right.
And so I don't know how you do it. I do know this. I don't know that it's winnable. And I would think this is the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
If there were one person I thought could pull it off, it'd be this guy.
Yeah.
And so it's boom or bust. It's one in 10, 15, 20 million that he could pull it off. But if there is a fighting chance to somehow turn this around... And it won't be a turnaround like, I'm going to win, but it would be a turnaround where he is able to claw back to within a few points on the national polling of Hillary, then it would be Donald Trump because he does manipulate the press and he does manipulate, voters by, he panders. He's Huey Long.
No one has manipulated the media more. There's just nobody.
I mean, we're up to $8 billion in free press coverage if you had to actually spend it on ads. So you're talking about... Barack Obama had the first campaign to ever raise $1 billion.
Right.
And Donald Trump, without donations and totally free press coverage, has gotten eight times of that by hacking a for-profit press. I mean, he knows they have to make money, and he knows
that
he can sell ad space like none other and get eyeballs because he can be outlandish. It's expected.
We actively try not to talk Trump, and we can't help it. Every episode, we have to.
He's hacked everybody. And that's the thing, is when you are trying to do interesting content, it is incredibly hard. You have to, at a certain point, it's kind of fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk education policy all the time, but we would mostly agree. And we'd say this is what's available. Now, granted, none of this is politically achievable, but this is what it would look like.
Sure.
And that'd be a boring episode, and we'd be libertarian solutions.
Right. Meanwhile, you and I yell about Trump, and then we have Rob Kendall on and laugh at him for being such a shill. Rob has been hilarious to watch.
Well, you guys have all. You guys went from close friends,
yeah,
with mutually shared respect,
mm-hmm.
and instead became, you know, the Vince McMahon and Donald Trump of the WWE. Is he going to shave your head if Trump wins? I think you should make that a bet.
See, here's the problem with Rob. Rob has no problem with Trump, what Trump said, and he really doesn't seem to have a problem if Trump kisses women. But I accidentally send a meme to his girlfriend of a funny wiener, funny male genitalia, and he seems to have a problem with that. That seems a little hypocritical to me.
Well, you think you can just go around sending dick pics to other people's girlfriends and you feel entitled to that?
I was sending it to Jeff Vibbert.
It didn't end up going to Jeff Vibbert. Actually,
it didn't.
That just shows your masculine privilege, thinking that you can just send a dick pic to a guy and he wants to see it. because Jeff works in comedy doesn't mean he wants to see your penis.
But it wasn't mine. It was a meme, and it was funny. It was the taters and the wiener, and then
it needed some setup.
And then it had funny glasses on it, and it was hilarious looking.
Right, but it's one of those things where the audience ultimately dictates the humor.
I didn't mean to say, meanwhile, I'm not getting Tic Tacs and walking up to Haley and giving her a kiss. And so he has a problem with that, but he doesn't have a problem with Donald Trump doing it. I find that to be disturbing. So because he
offensive.
Offensive.
And I am outraged.
I am.
I am boycotting Central Indiana today.
So I had to take action. I don't attack. But when I'm attacked, I have to attack back. So I released a photo today. It was a damning photo taken by one of my inside sources of Rob Kendall's tiny board. It's so small.
I won't comment. I'll just say
that means you agree with me. It's so small. It is a quarter the size of our board.
You're either with us or against us.
So
no, yeah. You two have been enjoying this newfound heel rivalry on social media. It's been quite entertaining.
It is so funny because people, are you and Rob okay? Like, no, Rob and I are fine. It's funny to go back and forth. Like, I know Rob's wrong and Rob thinks I'm wrong, but we like to fight, so we're fine.
And ultimately, Rob's going to protect his guy.
Yeah.
He backed Trump early on. And
even if it makes him look like a moron.
But at the end of the day, I do respect that because I respect loyalty. I do respect that. Even though someone's wrong, it's very easy these days to just, it's like we talked with Drew last episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to abandon the second it becomes convenient.
Right.
It's the easiest thing in the world.
Right.
And what ends up happening is it's a bunch of perpetual false starts.
Sure.
And so, I don't have a problem. Like, Rob sticking with Trump and defending Trump, you know what? Good for you.
Well, I think the thing that people don't necessarily have a problem with the fact that it's like...
Acknowledge he did something
just
wrong.
Just acknowledge that he did something
wrong.
Oh,
yeah. But I'll tell you the truth, and I don't know if I should say this. I have...
You can apologize.
I didn't do it, but I watched it happen, which I guess makes me part of the problem.
And you said nothing.
But I learned of a thing called front swiping when I was about 22 years old.
Front swiping?
Front swiping when I was about 22 years old at a, I want to say, Tom Petty concert.
All good ideas are born.
It's actually someone you know, their brother, their older brother. And he did it to one of my current female friends now.
Oh,
And he front swiped her. And imagine swiping a credit card upstream.
That's
and she laughed about it. And like he was like apologizing because he was drunk. And, I had never heard of it. And I like to think that I was well prepped for this because I experienced front swiping. And so that's probably why I wasn't morally outraged. I thought, oh, it's like, it's a variation of the front swipe.
But see, that's
I shouldn't laugh.
That's a 22-year-old drunk guy at a
right.
Tom Petty concert, not a man who's running for president, which none of that excuses it.
Just, I know, because we're actually way better morally prepared than he is.
Oh, you and I are, I don't feel that I'm like I'm a Christian, but I feel like I'm the worst Christian alive. Nah, Donald
based
Trump
on association,
Donald Trump exists. Which, what's this that he got saved?
Did he?
Apparently, that's what Rob's touting. He got saved 2 years ago, and I was like,
should get baptized tonight. That's what he could have done. That would have been worse. Right before on stage, live on Facebook, he has a minister fully dunk him and baptize him and wash him of his sins to America.
Oh God,
that would have been P.T. Barnum.
All right, kids. We are going to, I don't know.
What if he comes out with a cross pinned on his lapel?
Nobody believes him.
I know, but at this point, it's double down and just see how much you control. See if you can turn this thing around with laughter.
He really, that's, yeah. So what are you expecting tonight's debate?
Last one really shocked me, so I don't know. I think that there was such a backlash against Lester Holt being one-sided that it will be more...
It's
they'll
Anderson,
try to, but
Anderson Cooper, who's great, and
he's gonna love the oh, this is so him,
and he doesn't put up with anything.
Anderson Weeper, 180.
Not an Anderson fan.
Oh,
really?
He's so sensitive. He is.
I love Anderson.
Oh, he's a great host, and yeah. He's a very good moderator. But the man has a lot of feels.
Well, I know you have a problem when men feel.
Well, no, it's nepotism, too. That's what I don't love. Right. His mom's Diane von Furstenberg.
No.
Or Gloria Vanderbilt.
Gloria Vanderbilt.
And so, like, he, the charmed life being, you know, going to Yale, studying political science, shockingly getting on at a media station, being part of the class.
Right.
And yet, you know, I do respect that he has done a good job of maintaining journalistic integrity.
Sure.
But to think that he didn't, you know, I bet Jeff Zucker, I bet all the CEOs in media have all, they probably came to like his high school graduation.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is a charmed life.
Yeah.
Guys like Brett Baier, who I respect.
Yeah. There's a great documentary on, I think, All the Things Left Unsaid, I think is the name of it. It's about Anderson Cooper and Gloria Vanderbilt. It's really good. It's on Netflix as well.
Shocking when they were friends with the Rockefellers that you would get a job, you know, easily get a job at the Rockefeller Center. You know what I mean?
He actually, Gloria Vanderbilt lost most of the money.
Oh, yeah. She was so the idiot third generation.
Yeah, so he really had to...
The connections were still there, though.
At a certain point, he was like, yeah, exactly. But at a certain point, he was like, I'm going to have to really figure this out on my own.
I'm going to have to actually work.
Yeah, he's tried not to get a leg up, it seems like.
Yeah,
but,
he's respected his opportunity, and I do appreciate that.
Right. Okay, kids. I think that it's... Man, it could go one of two ways. It really, again, depends on Donald Trump. Sources told CNN that Hillary's not going to dwell on this, and I don't think she should.
She should, no.
Because it would be a huge mistake for her not to use...
She could win it by doing what Bernie did. Well, can we shut up about the emails?
Right.
But that would not be Hillary.
No, because... The path to victory, as exposed by the Podesta emails in that WikiLeaks leak that nobody's talking about, is...
Which is way worse.
Which is... And the Russians hacking our system. I mean, none of it got covered. The hurricane didn't get covered at all.
Because Donald is a sexist.
It really
11
is.
Years ago.
I really was sitting there Friday night thinking, I want to watch hurricane coverage. You know, this is killing people. This is impacting
lives.
It's
not news.
Or the WikiLeaks. Or Donald Trump said pussy, so the whole world stops.
Can you imagine if either of us ever ran for public office and just our archive of content? What the sound bites would be epic.
Me yelling the C word, saying Aunt Donna. People are like, when are you going to run for office? I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know.
Well, I mean, ultimately, though, that's what's going to happen is a preponderance of content will lead to a mindset where... Listen, everybody. Context matters so much at this point, we can't even deem it credible.
Right.
But we're not there yet. But we're getting there. Society's mindset towards these leaks will change.
The problem is that we want to talk about the shock and outrage, but society really does have, seems to have the self-cleaning system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donald Trump and Bill Clinton really are sleazeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And... They're not going to get the benefit of the doubt because they are sleazeballs.
Bill will. Bill did. Bill lied to Congress and avoided impeachment.
Yes. He got impeached, but he didn't get thrown out of office.
And he got censured, right? He didn't get thrown out of office. Yeah, he got impeached, but he didn't get thrown out of office.
He didn't get convicted in the Senate. But he did get impeached. He did lose his law license. He did leave in disgrace.
No, I mean, he left with a 61% approval rating.
Yeah, but he couldn't campaign for Gore at all because he was such damaged goods.
Yeah, and it only took 2 years to turn that around. But, I mean, they do get a free pass.
Sure.
They literally get a free pass.
But at the same token, they kind of don't. I mean,
Hillary doesn't. Bill gets any free pass he wants.
There you go. Bill got quite a few free passes. They were sitting on stage with Donald Trump tonight. So, yeah, so I think if she dwells on this, it's a huge mistake for her. I don't even know what he's going to do. There's no point in even predicting what Donald Trump's going to do. But if he tries to say Hillary Clinton was worse and Bill Clinton was worse, I just think that's such a huge, another huge missed opportunity. If he makes this all about Hillary Clinton, it just makes him... It just doesn't help him with the people he needs to get to win this election.
No, I mean, the female support was already really rough.
Yeah.
And so now he's going to be at levels... I mean, the only hope he has is that women voters don't vote rather than going to Hillary.
Right.
And if that's the case, he's still got a fighting chance because he just has to get enough of his people out.
Right. Yeah. So it just is... There's no real predictions to be had because you don't know what's going to happen in this debate because it's going to be one of the greatest debates of our lifetime.
He has to be sincere.
Yeah.
And he has to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then he has to admit that he's an imperfect individual and somehow find a laugh in him being imperfect.
Agreed. Yep. That's the best way to handle it.
The only way.
Yep.
Anything else? It's a loss.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to pause here. We're going to watch on the CNN, and then we'll live. Do you want to live stream our commentary or just record it?
Yeah, we'll just record it. I'd like to watch it to see this thing.
Okay. All right. So do you want to record commentary throughout?
Sure.
All right. Okay. And then we'll release that later. But we won't live stream it. So you will have to wait until after to get that, and that'll be a nice little treat for you tomorrow to hear what we say about the debate, so you watch it. You get to hear it twice. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on Facebook Live. Thanks for joining us here for the debate. We'll also do this for the final debate. Tomorrow night at IU, Greg and I will be speaking with little Brett Bittner and Rupert Bonham and several others at the Liberty Tour 2016 stop at IU. We'll also be back Tuesday. We'll have another episode on Tuesday to kind of put everything into context. And
what's Tuesday? Is anyone coming on Tuesday?
Hannah.
Hannah who?
Exactly. So Hannah Weber.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, and then, but not Hannah Scumbag Republican.
Hannah. Good.
And we may pull one other person in on Tuesday. I haven't decided yet. So join us for the next few days. So join us at IU. Join us on Tuesday night. We may Facebook Live it again if you guys enjoy this sort of thing. Let us know. All right. Thank you so much. And we will see you after the debate. And we will give our impressions. And we'll see if Donald Trump can pull it off. Your boy.
My boy?
Your boy.
Oh, you know what? I'm not abandoning ship. At the end of the day, it's like we said. I hear so many worse things on a daily basis.
But he does it. That's the point, Greg.
Yeah, we all do it.
Right. Like, if I walked up to your sister and just started making out with her, would you be okay with that?
No, but I mean, there aren't repercussions for him.
Okay.
It's a double standard.
All right.
No, I mean, there aren't because he has private security that would prevent me kicking the hell out of him.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you after the debate.